So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6.
So we've been on this series on prayer, the model prayer that Jesus was teaching his apostles. Did you ever notice that in the Bible that the apostles, the disciples never asked Jesus how to pray for the sick or cast out devils? What they asked him to do was teach us how to pray like you do. Because once we learn how to pray like he does, then we can do all those things, right? You know, I think that's an interesting concept that we see in there. But it's important, one, that we don't just pray, but we pray often. And it's something that we should be doing constantly during the day, praising his name, thanking him for what he's done for us. So one point along, the apostles come along and said, you know, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus said this. He said, in this manner, therefore, pray. In verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father who art in heaven. And we talked about that. Our Father is sitting on his throne in heaven, and he is holy. Hallowed be your name. And then we want his kingdom to come, right? His kingdom to come. His will be done, right? How often do we pray when we pray so that our will would be done, right? Whether it agrees with his will or not, we go, this is what I want, or this is what I need, or we'll even start our prayer out that way. You know, when you get up in the morning, you know, or you're laying there in bed, and the first thing you think is, oh God, this is what I need today. Instead, we don't praise his name, we don't thank him for who he is, you know, and he says, in this manner pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the way we start our prayer. That's the way we should start. And then not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we've been talking about this. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. And he's not just talking about money here. Okay? As we forgive our debtors. So I want to talk about that scripture today and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So if you really take a look at that sentence there, you can almost say it this way. You can't forgive me unless I forgive my debtors. Now I'm going to go back and read it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive. Verse 14, let's jump down there. Said, for if you forgive, because this is a big thing in the Bible. It's a big thing. It is so big, I don't think we get how big it is. But we're gonna go there today. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, then neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Did you notice that those letters are in red? I like the red letters. I don't think Jesus beat around the bush. He just said it like it is. Not was, is. He said it like it is. But have you ever looked at a key? You know, and you take a look at a key, and on that key there's little bumps and little hills and little valleys. You know, do you know what those little hills are for? Without bringing an illustration, inside of a lock, there's these little things that push down. And when you turn the key, those little hills, they push those little round cylinders up, and that causes the door to unlock. Now, if you have four little cylinders that are sticking down in your lock, and you put your key in there, but it only has three little hills on your key, it's not going to what? It's not going to unlock, right? So in order for your lock then to be unlocked, you have to have all four hills on your key, right? We know that's the way the word is. The word has lots of hills. In order for us to unlock what's on the other side of the door, what's on the other side of the door? Okay, we're trying to unlock the keys into the kingdom. What's on the other side of the door? Okay, what's in the kingdom? The blessings that You know, isn't it interesting that every time he tells us not to do something, there's a reward on the other end if we don't do it? And if we do what he says, there's a blessing on the other end of that also, right? And so it's important that we figure these keys out. So we walk around. So this is what a lot of people know. We've been talking about tithing the last couple of weeks. And we go, okay, Pastor, you said, the Bible said that if I bring in my tithe, that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that's so large that I cannot contain the whole thing. Right? Does the word not say that? Right? Okay. All right. So do you remember we read this scripture last, I think it was last week, Matthew 23, verse 23. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of the mint, the anise, and the cumin, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. He says, these you should have done without leaving the others undone. So in other words, says, yeah, you should tithe, but at the same time, you have ignored these other matters of justice, mercy, and faith. So how does that work with Malachi? You see, it's hard for us to take one scripture out of the Bible. Well, no, it's not hard to do this. It's easy to do this. Take one scripture out of the Bible and say, hey, this is it. You know, I'm going to go be a whatever all day long, do all the wrong things, but I'm going to do this one thing. And he says, if I do this one thing, that he'll bless me. But his word doesn't really say that. So when he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees here, he says, listen, you hypocrites. See, Jesus only spoke love and nice words, and he was all good, right? And he says, no, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You pay your tithe, but you know what? You missed these other things. Justice, mercy, and faith. You missed it. So those things, justice, mercy, and faith, are connected to the tithe. Right? So he says here in Luke 6, verse 37. Let's go over to Luke 6, 37. And get this. This is good. Oh, I think it's good. Now, if I can be honest with you, I go into this service, this message this morning. This is message today has been very convicting to me. And y'all think, I know you don't think this, but a lot of times people say, well, Pastor, you just got it all together. Well, Pastor doesn't have it all together all the time. I have it all together sometimes. Okay? You know, I try to make it all the time, but you know how that goes. So anyway, so Luke 6:36, he says, judge not, and you shall be not be what? Judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Whoa, forgive. Now wait a minute, if we go, what's that got to do with what we're talking about? And then he goes in verse 38, and he says, give. Okay, now, a lot of times this scripture is preached, you know, when we get ready, you know, when people get ready to do their tithes and offerings, you've probably heard sermons on it, you know, give, and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Right? You ever heard one of those? Yeah. Well, how come we don't put verse 37 with it? See, he didn't go verse 37 and then start another book in verse 38. He's talking here. And he says, listen, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, pressed in a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. It was all one sentence. There are actually two sentences there. So really what he's saying here is the judge not, condemn not, forgive, and your giving are tied. Those are the four keys. Those are four keys. Judge not, condemn not, forgive, and give. So then we look at Matthew 23:23 again, and he says, these you should not have ignored, justice, mercy, and faith. Justice is judge not, mercy is condemn not. Faith is it takes faith to forgive. right? Have you ever forgiven somebody that you didn't want to forgive? And it's hard to let that go, but there's certain things that we just have to do in faith. It's like, Lord, this is hard, but you said to do it, so I'm doing it. My flesh doesn't want to, but my heart knows it's the right thing to do. Does that make sense? So as we put that key into the lock, we need to make sure that all four of the little hills on the key are present. Remember, the Pharisees were giving. They were tithing. And yet, Jesus wasn't impressed. Right? He wasn't impressed. Yeah, but Pastor, I gave more than anybody in the church. Well, if we're not doing these other things, he's not impressed. You know, a lot of times our attitude is like this. You know, and we you know, you ever have kids come to your door and, you know, they're trying to collect money for something for their school or, you know, some athletic event. You know, we get this all, well, we used to get it all the time, you know, but sometimes you want to just do this. I gave at the office, guys, you know, right? You know, it's like I put some money in the offering last week. It's like, you know, whatever, I'm good. But too often we think that just because I'm doing one part of the word, then the scriptures that go with that one part of the word should kick in when it really is bigger than that. I mean, we can talk about love scriptures. Want to talk about love scriptures? Right? Do you love all your brethren? Because if you don't, you're not in a good place. Yeah, but you know, you don't know what they did. Yeah, but Jesus does, right? So it's really not something that's up to us. You know, I mean, I hope this is okay to teach this morning, because listen, my job is not to teach you just the good parts of the word, it's also to teach you the whole gospel, you know. And so this is kind of like down there where it's kind of dirty and gritty. And you know, I needed to hear it, and so if I need to hear it, you need to hear it. Yeah, anyway. What's that saying about you? Nothing. It just means that you're a person just like I am, and I am like you are. So, all right. So there's four. There's, you know, so the first one here, he says, judge not, right? So what is judging? So judging is, it's a critical thought or a critical word. A critical thought or a critical word. Anybody ever have one of those this week? No. This would be better. Anybody not have one of those this week, right? You know, I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. You know, another word for that could be gossip, right? Did you know what John did? No, John Gardner's not here this morning. Let me tell you something he did. See? No. See, that's gossip, right? You know, I mean, there's sometimes we talk about situations, but when it doesn't matter, you know, there is I can't remember how this is really off the cuff, but I think it was Plato. Anyway, they used it as an example that somebody came up to say something to him about somebody in his class or something, and he asked him this question. He says, "Well, does it edify me? Do we know that it's true? You know, is it going to do damage?" You know, and I mean, I'm kind of guessing that there was three or four things, and I think this is the one. If he didn't say this, it should have been, "Do you know that it's true?" See, a lot of times we talk about things or situations, you know, and we don't know that it's true. You know, just the weeks before the inauguration, my phone was blowing up with conspiracies. I mean, just blowing up. You know, I delete them. You know, and none of those conspiracy things came true. Not one of them. And so you go, where's those people now? Yeah, they're making new ones. You know, and it's like, if it's, how do I don't know you, I don't know if it's true, there's no data to back up what you're saying, you're just saying stuff, delete. Well, I never even heard it, I just deleted them. You know, there were some people would send me five or six a day. It's like, I don't need that, I got other things to do. This is my theory right here. Okay, so Why should you be judgmental against, okay, a couple of things. Why should you be judgmental against someone you don't even know? Do we ever do that? Oh, baby, right? Yeah. And who are you to judge that person that you don't know? Because you're basing it on information that somebody else said that you don't really know. So look at this scripture, Romans 2 and verse 1. 2, verse 1. You know, you guys got to see, this is somebody that comes to church prepared. May I?
Yeah.
I mean, look at this. Huh? That's called a student of the word. Well, so is Master Bill, you know.
We're married.
All right, so verse 1 of chapter 2 in the book of Romans, he says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Now those aren't red letters, but they're by the red Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ, he said, don't judge. And you won't be what? Judged. Don't judge and you won't. Do you want to be judged? No. So don't judge. Because the benefit far outweighs the loose lips. Yeah, but see, my flesh goes, I want to say something. Right? Or am I the only one that's like that? No. And I really want to say something. There was a story about an example about a man that was on a bus, and he had two or three kids, and the two or three kids were going crazy. They were running up and down the aisle of the bus, and they were screaming and yelling and jumping in other people's laps and causing all this confusion. And the dad just sat there and just stared out the window. And people were like, what would you think of that guy? What would be going through your head? And you lean over and go, I wish that guy would do something. What a jerk. And so finally the bus driver goes over and sits down and talks to him and says, can you do something about your kids? And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. He says, my wife just died this morning. And I'm kind of in shock. So sometimes we see things going on and we want to jump to a conclusion and judge the situation. We don't know the truth. Even though it's irritating. The kids running around. I mean, okay, that's irritating. But we're judging a person. We don't know what the facts are. So once the facts are known, somebody can jump in and help with the kids and settle down the situation. And one time I was on an airplane. I was going on a business trip. And I'm sitting next to this guy. And all of a sudden, this guy starts acting really, really strange. And having all these weird body movements, and I'm going, what the heck is going on? It's like, you start to judge a situation. It's fine. I leaned over and said, hey, dude, are you okay? Is something wrong? What's the matter with you? And he was having I don't know what you would call it, but he had diabetes, and he was having an attack, And so instead of sitting there wondering what was going on with this guy, I chased down a stewardess, got some candy, gave it to him. He was fine. So, we can, let's not be, it's just so easy for us to do that. Every don't that we see in the Bible, there's a blessing if we don't. Every one of them. And every do that he tells us to do, there's a reward or blessing that comes out on the other end, the other side. You know how we say, I do this, I may have a few things that I say, whatever. When people say things or the things that maybe, other people would be judged, I just go, whatever. The other one is, oh, well. And the other thing that we'll say sometimes is, you know, you really look nice today, Bill.
Not.
Right? Just kidding. Okay, no. Right? So, you ever use that thing? You know, we'll say something about something or something. You want some of these? Not. Or you want me to give you some of those? Not. You know, well, Jesus came up with it first. Judge? Not. Condemn? Not. See, we think we're cool, but no, Jesus already beat us to being cool. You know, judge not, condemn not, right? Romans 14, verse 4. He says, here, I'm gonna keep going here. He says, who are you to judge another servant? I like that. Who are you? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. You know, who are you? And in verse 10, he says, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall, keyword here, all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know what he's saying here? Put it in today's vernacular. Leave him alone. Oh, but we don't want to. You know. But if you want to be blessed, you want to. Just leave him alone. Move on. You want to be forgiven? Move on. You want your finances blessed? No? Move on. Leave him alone. You ever, when you were raising your kids, hold that thought for a second. We're having all kinds of issues with our little Mevo here recently. Okay, well, that's gone. Sorry, folks. Have you ever corrected your children when your children are trying to correct your other children? Right? Anybody ever do that? No. Or maybe you were the party that was being corrected by your parents, you know. And then you did this over your kids, or your parents did it over you. You know, it's like, hey, I'm the parent here. Let me deal with it. Right? Okay. Do you ever think God does that to us? Hey, I'm the dad. Let me take care of them. You just move on. In James 5, let's turn to James 5, verse 9. James 5, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, and brethren, unless you be what? Condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the what? Just think about this. Every time you start doing this, on the other side of that door is Jesus. And we've got three doors coming in here. Right? Jesus is standing at the door. That's a little disconcerting when you stop and think about it. You know, he hears what we're saying. He judges, and he judges every word that you say, and you're going. And the word tells us that you're going to answer for every word that you say. How about that? Now, I don't know about you, but that causes me some. It gives me some concern. We judge other people. We judge other churches. We judge other pastors. We judge other workers. You know, there are things that we're supposed to judge, whether something is right or wrong, whether it's spirit-led or not. But to just judge and condemn others without knowing all the facts, just don't do it, because it's not going to help you at all. Well, I want to be blessed. Well, then let's don't enter into that
enter into that trick from the devil. You ever say this about something that you know, maybe you were doing a gossip thing or listening to a gossip thing from somebody, and you know, and they said, "Well, I know this. I know this. I know this about that situation. I know this about that person, and they did this and this." And then down the road, you find out that this and this wasn't so true after all, right? And that should tell us something right there. Don't judge and don't condemn. And if somebody tells you something, and you're in a situation where you can't not listen, but you can never repeat it, right? You don't have to like walk into it. So don't be judging in those situations. The second thing he talks about is condemnation. Do not condemn. He says, condemn how? Not. Right? Condemn what? Not. So condemning is when we hope something bad happens to people. Just think about that for a minute. It's when we hope something bad happens to people. We hope that they suffer consequences for what they did or what we think they did. In this whole last 4 years, this last election process, I think everyone was condemning someone. True or not. You know. It goes like this. I hope they get what's coming to them. Anybody ever say that? I mean, we're family. Let's be honest. Anybody ever say that? I hope they get what's coming to them. I have. Okay? I've done that. I've said that. And I truly meant it. Now, I really did, you know. But you know, we got to think different now. Okay, Jesus died for you. Right? He died for you so that you wouldn't get what you have coming to you. Well, he died for them too. You see the thinking process here? It's like, well, you know, I'm so great. No, I'm not so great because I'm not as great as Jesus is. And Jesus has given me his name. He's given me his word. He has given me his life. He has forgiven me of my sins. Now, why would I want somebody else to be hurt because I don't like them? So, he died for them too. And you know what? I don't want coming to me what I deserve. And I don't really want what's coming to you or them what you, quote, deserve. So this judgment thing and this condemnation thing, it's something we got to get out of our thinking. We got to get it out of our lips. We got to, you know, I'll bet you this is not a judgment, but I'll bet you this, before you get home today, that thought will creep in. Somebody will do something or somebody will say something. you know why people leave church? Because they make a judgment without really knowing what's what, and maybe they're guilty of what's being preached and they didn't like what's being, they're offended. Being offended is actually making a judgment. So the last word that he talks about here, well, second one, the third one here is forgive. What does it mean to forgive? Cancel the debt. How about this word? Release. You know, if you do something or say something mean towards me, I can either hang on to it or I can release you from it. So now, personally speaking, I got the forgive part down pretty good. But I'm still working on that judgment thing. And the fact is, preparing for this, I was telling Sue this morning, coming in, I said, this is going to be a really difficult sermon for me to give today because I'm guilty of a lot of this stuff. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but you know what? I guess there's still a little bit in there, and it's kind of like eating a cookie, you know? It's got a little bit of dog poop in it. You're going to eat it? It's still there, right? It still stinks. It's still, I'm not going to eat it. Well, if you got a little bit in there, I still got a little bit in there. You know, so I asked him this week, I said, God, you don't got it, but, you know, would you forgive me? Holy Spirit, you need to help me clean up my act. And I would imagine all of us have something in this message somewhere. It's like, yeah, that's me, or, well, of course it's not me because I've arrived, right? No, none of us have arrived, and we've all got that place. You know, but here's the thing. You got that, if you have that tendency, let's take it to God. And when you do it, you know it. Especially now. You're going to know it now when you open your mouth and say something. And just right then and there, Father, forgive me. Yeah, I did it again. Holy Spirit, help me, help me, help me, help me. Okay? So, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, you were released from the penalty of sin. You know, which was not accepting. You know, before you get saved, really the only, okay, you did lots of things that we would call sin, but the main sin that you committed was not accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the thing, that was what's keeping you out. You know, but once you get saved, you're forgiven. And all those things that you did back before you got saved, you're good. And then we get up the next morning and guess what? And we do it again. What got saved? Your spirit man got saved, right? You got a new spirit man. You know, the old one went away. You get a new one, but your body and your soul hasn't been saved yet, right? So that's where the word says renew your mind of the word, because you got to get that thing fixed. Okay, so we renew our mind of the word, and as you renew your mind of the word, and you're consistent and you're diligent about it, guess what? Your flesh is going to begin to come under the word, under the influence of the word, fast. I'm telling you, if you do that, it's going to happen fast. Well, I've been studying it for like 12 years and I still have the same problem. Then you're not being diligent about it. You're not. Because when you're diligent about it, because once you get it in your spirit and it drops into your heart, now you can believe. You know, I remember when I first started studying healing, when I first heard about it, and I had these issues every year like everybody else does, and had this and had that, and that would happen, and this would happen, so I started listening to this series of tapes by this minister called Fear and Faith. 4 tapes, 90 minutes long, each one of them. And for weeks, I played the same series because I had an hour drive to work, hour drive, hour and a half drive home every day. And so I would listen to those tapes over and over and over and over. Didn't listen to radio. Didn't listen to music. I listened to that teaching. And I got out my good old King James Bible. Read all those scriptures, meditated on those scriptures, and then one night, I'm driving into work, and I just it hit me. I don't, key word here, have to be sick. I don't have to be sick. The battle wasn't over just because I got the revelation. But I now know I have the authority to overcome the sickness. And he still tries every now and then. He does. He tries, okay, Randy, today's the day. I'm going to get you. And you can go right back to hell where you came from, Satan. Because I buy his stripes. Okay, so So what happens when something like that happens? What do you do? Oh, I have no idea what to do. How did Jesus overcome Satan? With the Word. How do we overcome Satan? How do we overcome illness? How do we overcome judging? Condemning. Because judging and condemning is from the enemy. So we overcome it by the Word. Now, it's not enough to just tell me that it's by the Word. Okay? A lot of times we go, well, it's the Word. Yeah, I know the answer is the Word. But what are you going to do when you get in that situation? You can't stand there and go, the Word. The Word. You know, I'm just going to go, the Word. The Word. I mean, you sound like a duck. The Word. You know. No. Right. We've got to put the Word, right? What does the Word say about that situation? Right? That's the Word that you apply against the situation. Kind of getting that? Okay, I mean, that's free. I don't know. Somebody need to hear that this morning. Okay, so he tells us this in Matthew that you've freely received, right? We freely received forgiveness, right? Jesus doesn't condemn us, right? If we've received him, he's not going to condemn us. And he's not going to judge us. Well, he will judge us at the great white throne judgment, you know, but if you're saved, you're good. I'm just letting you know, you're good. Okay, so if he has freely received us or freely forgiven us, shouldn't we freely forgive others? Shouldn't we freely not judge? Should we freely not condemn others? Right? So that's where my words come in. Oh, well. I mean, somebody does something that's not good to me or, you know, oh, well. Because, see, that's just them. That's their flesh. Whatever. They're going to do what they're going to do, and that I can't let that affect me. Oh, well. They are who they are. They do what they're going to do. And usually when we do stuff like that, we're not following our Father in heaven, we're following another Father, the Father of the world. Okay? You know, you might say, you know, when it comes to forgiving, listen, if you don't forgive, you're going to let that thought rule you. It's going to control you. Do you want that to happen? But that's what we do when we don't forgive. Yeah, but, you know, we always come with a yeah, but, you know, that's not rabbit, that's yeah, but. And but regardless of how hard it hurts us, we've got to get to that place where it's like, oh, well. Oh, well. You know, God, help me to move on beyond what's being said here. And he said this, and we read this. No, we didn't read this yet. Mark 11. Let's turn to Mark 11, 25. You know, this is the dissertation, right? After he says, you know, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the words that he says, it shall come to what? It'll come to pass. You know, so that's the great faith, you know, teaching in the Bible. But he ends it with this. So he says, listen, if you speak to the mountain and believe in your heart that the words you say will happen, which we're going to get into in the next couple of weeks, by the way. We're going to talk about words here. He says, but he says, if you do all that, and then he goes, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything, say anything, against anyone. See, when you read the word, you read it one word at a time. When you have anything against anyone, what? Forgive him. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Those are red letters again. Jesus said that. It's kind of heavy, huh? I mean, forgiveness is a big deal. See, 2 weeks ago, you thought tithing was a big deal. Today, we talk about forgiving and condemning and judging and go, oh, those are big deals too. It all goes together. So turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Just show you how serious this is, because, you know, these stories in the Bible, whether they're true or not, are metaphors of spiritual, you know, of the spiritual kingdom. And this isn't going to be up on the screen. The last part is, but there was a servant or a man that had got a lot of debt. Where do I want to start? Let's see. Okay, so just kind of follow with me. 20:22. He says, I do not say... Okay, now Peter's asking Jesus how many times to forgive. And no, let's go to 23. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. In today's dollars, if I did my math right, was $89 million. Okay? Let's see, where I leave off here. Okay, 25. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, for I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Can you imagine forgiving that much money? Let's say my math is off and it's $40 million. Okay. It's a lot, right? It's a number you're probably not accustomed to. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. In today's dollars, $65. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Can you imagine? So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not. And he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. And they came in and they told their master all that had been done. And then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Does this sound familiar? Verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the what? Tortures, or some versions say tormentors, until he should pay all that was due him. Red letters. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now I don't know about you, but this boy does not want to be turned over to the tormentors. I don't know if you've ever been harassed by a demon, but I have. And it's dark. And it's empty. And it's lost. And it's not a good place to be. And I do not ever want to experience that again. But now I know what to do. Well, I knew what to do then too and dealt with it. But I still know what to do. But if you're that blinded, you're going to stumble. You know, so $90 million versus $65, and he wouldn't forgive the $65? Isn't that amazing? Because that's how little we can be. No, you can't. You lose. So we don't want to do that. Is forgiveness important? Is condemning not important? Is judging not important? Okay, so now we get to the fourth key. Okay? So judging, condemning, forgiveness, giving. Luke 6:38. This is not separate from the rest of the message. So here's Jesus talking, and he says, judge not, condemn not, forgive. And then he says, give, right? And it will be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, you'll be put into your bosom. So what does that mean? What do you mean, good measure, pressed down, shaken together? So when you went to the market and you wanted to get your grain or whatever, you know, or you were in the fields and you know, we'll talk about Boaz and Ruth here in a second, but when you went to buy your grain and you took your container that you were going to take it home in, they would fill it up like halfway or three quarters, and then they would press it down, and then they'd shake it, you know, or they put some more in, and then they'd shake it some more, and after it was all shaken, then they'd continue to fill up the container until it flowed over. So that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do to us. But here's the thing. Judgment, condemnation, and unforgiveness get in the way. Well, I'm paying my tithe. Condemnation, judgment, and unforgiveness get in the way of the good measure pressed down and shaken together, running over. He gets in the way of that. So this is kind of a big deal. Not just a big deal. It's a real big deal. You know, and I think I said at the beginning, I don't really like how this is preached so many times. You know, when people give, you know, take tithes and offerings, and I mean, I've heard this many, many times, give and it'll be given to you, right? You know, write a bigger check and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I've known a lot of people that have tithed for a long, long time or given, and I haven't seen anything happen that's pressed down, shaken together, running over. Have you? Probably because the judging, condemnation, unforgiveness is in the way. Yeah, but I get convicted when I don't tithe. Well, maybe you'll get convicted now when you start to open your mouth to judge somebody or condemn somebody or walk in unforgiveness. That'll loosen up your finances. Is that a bad thing? You know, I mean, just think about it. Some of you guys sitting in here, it could be he's wanted to bless you with hundreds of finances, but he couldn't do it because of some of these things. Or maybe it's hundreds of thousands, or maybe it's thousands of thousands. But because we weren't doing the knots, it blocked it, you know. And so he gives us a little piecemeal. He keeps us going. But when we throw these other things into the mix and say, okay, yep, I've been doing some of that. Yep, I've been doing some of that. And that one I'm doing okay on, but these other two kind of they're a tripping block for me. So what do we do? So we take it to God and we say, okay, Father, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with this. So would you help me? I used to pray this. Well, I still do as far as that goes. Holy Spirit, when I open my mouth to say things I shouldn't say, would you please speak louder than I am? Because we need to stop. Because God wants to bless you, you guys. We have no idea how much He really wants to bless us. Because, okay, so we changed our name to Impact so that we can be an impact. But you know what it takes to be an impact? I mean, one, it takes you being friendly, it takes you reaching out, but it also takes finances. And so, well, God will just send the money. No, He's not going to just send the money if we're not doing the things the way He has said to do it. Right? You know, I mean, I pray over that for this church every every single day. And actually, I've been more aggressive than ever lately. And actually, the finances, I believe, have gotten better than they were. But at the same time, I, my opinion, it's not where it should be. And we should have more seats filled than we have. But maybe if we get the judgment out, if we get the condemnation out, we get the unforgiveness out, we follow his rules on giving, pressed down, shaken together, or running over. I know a guy, a testimony of this man that he started a business, and his goal was to, I'm going to drop a hint here. His goal was to support his pastor, to buy his pastor a house, support him all through retirement, and only live on 10% of what he made. And so he started living a godly life. He started giving and giving and moving into that. Each year he'd give more and more and more. So this was a few years ago. He was living on 10%, taking care of his pastor and his wife. It was all done. Actually, I know a couple of people who have done that. Jim Caseman, who some of you know, the church where he goes here, I don't know, 5 years ago, they bought him a house fully furnished. I mean, sheets, towels, dishes, furniture, fully furnished. And that man has given everything he's ever had to the ministry of Jesus Christ. So see, don't... You say, well, yeah, but okay, Pastor, I'm not that person. He can get it to you. If you need it, he can get it to you. But we got to put these other, we got to make sure we got all the little heels on the key, in there working for it. So what is that statement, that running over will be put in, you'll be put into your bosom. What does that mean, right? So back in that day, the clothes they wore was like a big cloak. And when they would get stuff they couldn't carry, they'd use their cloak to carry it in. So they would take it. Okay, so Boaz, when he was like chasing after Ruth, and she was just gleaning off the fields, and he goes, I like her. All right, so what's he do? He's being led by the Holy Ghost. But he sent one of his servants over and said, give her 70, right? Or no, 6 ephods of food out of the field. So here's this little woman, and they give her 6. So she fills up her bosom. Her bosom's filled up, 6 ephods. You know how much 6 ephods weighs? 70 pounds. Now I'm thinking, Boaz, if you really like her, you would carry that for her. that's what I'm thinking. But that's right? That's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This little woman is packing out, 70 pounds in front of her, and I have no idea how far she had to walk, but she lived in town and she had to come from the fields. So it wasn't just, a block away. It was a ways. But God blessed her, right? And so it's like, let's get all these other things out of the way. And it's like, is it really worth hanging on to an unforgiving heart? Is it really worth condemning somebody? Is it hoping something bad happens to them? Is it really worth judging somebody and you don't even know really what's going on? Is it really worth it when if we just say no to those things and God says, oh, man, you're... And he looks at your giving, he goes, this guy's a giver, and says, I want to give him more because I can trust him. I can trust her. I can trust them. Now, if you're a tither and a giver, and God's blessed you, and you can testify to that, well, that's awesome. But if you're a giver and you can't testify that God's really blessed you, could it be, just possibly be, that one of those keys is not working in your life? Could it be? Could it be? Could it be? Now that you can judge. You can judge yourself. The Holy Spirit wants to freely give us what we need, not just in our finances, but in every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body. I think it's 1 John 1 or 2, anyway, where he says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper spirit, soul, and body." That's how we're supposed to prosper. And so here's a guy on the island of Patmos doing hard labor, and he's praying for the church, saying, "Hey, this is what I'm believing for you guys, to prosper spirit, soul, and body." And so the question this morning is, for ourselves, is what is the Holy Spirit saying to us? What is he saying to you? What is he saying to me? What area in our life do you need to submit? What area do you need to work on?